Hey, folks, and welcome back to another episode of Get Wrecked, the only podcast anywhere in the world where two buds take turns recommending and reviewing some of their favorite pop culture hits, hidden gems, and oddities. I am, of course, your host and resident silly boy Thor, joined today, as always, by my friend and co-host. Give him some sugar, not nuts and twigs. Does he look like a fucking squirrel to you? It's Micah.
That's like the last line of one of the songs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Cereal Wars. The whole song is just about sugary cereal.
Yeah, so that song didn't jump out to me much, except for that line specifically. Did he just say, does he look like a squirrel?
Yeah, literally the whole song is just like, give me Captain Crunch. Give me Cocoa Puffs. There's not enough cocoa in them. I want sugary cereal and not that bullshit Wheaties. Like, I swear to God, that's literally the whole song is about.
Get out of here with your Wheaties.
The song is called Cereal Wars, and it's literally just about cereal. There is no deeper meaning.
Sometimes that's all you need, yeah. Right? Just a song about, a thrash song about cereal.
Yes, yeah. What are your top three cereals? Are you a cereal guy?
I do enjoy cereal. I tend to like the children's cereal, so I try not to eat it much.
Yeah, no,
because it's just sugar. Yeah. So this is going to be a hot take, but I am a big fan of Captain Crunch. I do like Captain Crunch with some Crunch Berries.
Oh yeah, that's right? One of my top three for sure.
The all berries Captain Crunch.
No.
Get out of here.
No, yeah. you need the yellow.
You need the balance.
You need the yellow crunches.
Yeah, you need the balance. As a child, I really liked cookies.
Are they like treasure chests? Because they're kind of like little rectangles. Are they supposed to be like treasure chests, you think?
Oh, that's a good thought. Maybe. They should be if they're not. I just called them sugar cubes.
Yeah. That's like, that's what it is.
Now I want Captain Crunch. Yeah. I used to like Cookie Crisp when I was a kid, and then
Cookie Crisp, yeah, man.
And I tried it as an adult, and I'm like, why? Why did you like this?
Yeah, it definitely doesn't hold up.
Yeah, it does not hold up. I really like Cinnamon Life. I feel like that's one of my favorites.
Cinnamon Life is great. I'm a Cinnamon Toast Crunch guy, though.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch might be the best cereal of all time.
Yeah, I think it is. Yes.
It might be my favorite.
Yeah, I think Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries.
Yeah.
And honestly, my third one is not the super sugary like kid cereal.
Okay.
Honey Bunches of Oats with Almonds.
Ooh, that's solid, though.
Dude, it's a great dinner cereal. Like, that's a great... Yeah. Like, if it's the weekend or something, I'm just like, I just need to eat something. I don't feel like making dinner. Yeah. I will just have a bowl of Honey Bunches with it.
Yeah, it's trashy and sophisticated.
It's great.
Yeah. Yeah, those are pretty good. I definitely think that Captain Crunch and whatchamacallit, we're in agreement.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yeah, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Those are definitely two of my top three. I'm a big fan of Cinnamon Life. That might be up there. Reese's Puffs are really good, too.
Oh, I hate Reese's Puffs. Yeah. I don't hate it. I just don't. That's Kendra's, like, number one.
Yeah, Reese's Puffs.
Shitty cereal. Yeah, she's like, give me Reese's Puffs.
Yeah, well, it hits something. But I think, one, because I'm an adult, and two, because the boxes are smaller, I'll down just a whole box in one sitting. Now, that's another issue that I have.
Dude, yeah.
Like, I'm like, that bowl was great. I'll have another one.
I'll have another, yeah.
Yeah, and then it just, you know, 2.5 bowls later, you ate an entire box of cereal. You probably got your sugar intake for a month.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, man, I'm salivating now thinking about this. Okay, I want to stop salivating. Thor, what are your three, like, least favorite or maybe overhyped cereals?
Corn Pops, I'm not a huge fan of. I'll eat them. They're all right.
So you don't got to have them?
Ain't got to have them. Reese's Puffs are on there for me, which I'm just not. Are we talking, overhyped? So, like, sure. Rice Krispies, Corn Flakes, they're not making the list because they're not overhyped.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Gosh, I'm trying. I love most cereal. Yeah. I will eat.
I can tell you my most overhyped for me.
Okay. Like,
Lucky Charms.
Yes.
Get
yep. There you go.
Out
That's
of here.
It.
Lucky Charms. You are.
It's junk.
It's so garbage. Like, who wants soggy marshmallows?
Well, and the marshmallows are the only good part, and even those aren't that good.
They're not good at all. I would rather have standard Cheerios.
Yeah, dude. Like a honey, dude, a Honey Nut Cheerio is blows Lucky Charms out of the water.
I'd be okay with like Honey Nut Cheerio 100%. I'd be okay with standard
just plain
Cheerios.
Cheerios.
Plain old Cheerios.
Paper Cheerios, yeah.
Over Lucky Charms.
Yeah, honestly, I'm right
Lucky Charms
with you.
Is hot garbage.
Did your parents ever do actually, I know you grew up like not really eating sugary stuff at all, so yeah. Like I don't know how much cereal you had as a kid.
We had like Raisin Bran.
Okay.
And
I'll get down on some Raisin Bran.
And we had some Special K.
Sure.
We would have like Cinnamon Life was one cuz that's sweet but it's not
overly sweet. Yeah,
it's maybe that's why.
It's definitely one of those more like reasonable options.
Yeah.
As far as like sugar and stuff.
Chex Mix was a big one in our house
Chex,
growing
for
up.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. And what's the one? Is it Kix that was kid tested, mother approved?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Kix was a big one.
Okay. Yeah.
So that type of stuff is what I grew up with. Every now and then I'd get Captain Crunch.
Dude,
rarely.
Speaking of kid stuff, this just literally.
Okay.
We were talking about Kix. We're talking about cereal.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I just. So last night. Do you remember Bananas in Pajamas?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I do. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So we're sitting at the dinner table eating, and we have Alexa there, and we always just listen to music while we're eating and stuff like that. And
yeah.
We're just, like, going back and forth naming songs, and we started doing kids' songs for Dean. And I was like, Alexa, play the Bananas in Pajamas theme song.
Oh.
And I don't know why I thought it. It just hit me. I, like, remembered it.
Was it in your head all night?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
But,
all right.
And so, but first Kendra goes, what is this? And I'm like, you don't know
bananas
in
pajamas?
Fucking pajamas? And
unaware?
She's like, no, I don't. I've never heard of that.
Okay.
Which blew me away.
Yeah.
Because it's not, yeah, because she's only 2 years younger than me. So it's not like.
There's a weird disconnect, though. I have found the same thing with Ashley.
Yeah. So it's just, yeah. That must have been like right at the tail end of.
Yeah.
Of Chona or whatever. But so. I looked it up and I found an episode on YouTube.
Oh boy.
And we were watching it and Dean was like enthralled by it.
Now, giant
now
banana
things,
people.
You know what, yeah. I didn't remember was the show is British.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, the bananas, B1 and B2, that's mm-hmm. their name. Yeah, they're British. All the characters are British.
Why are their names
it's a
B1
British show.
And B2? That's
banana
so,
one and
yeah, I get
first
that.
Banana, second banana.
But like that's really ominous, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. No, I did not really remember anything about it, aside from just, like, visually the aesthetic of it. But, yeah, they're British, and it was actually fairly funny. It's this episode where, like, they're pretending to be doctors because the teddy bears, their neighbors are out painting the fence, and
okay.
The guy comes in, and he has, like, pink dots on him, and they think it's, like, they're like, maybe it's chicken pox. Maybe it's elephant pox. And they're like, I think it's turkey pox. and they end up figuring out it's just paint. But, like, it was actually genuinely funny. They're like, there were some good laughs in there.
Huh.
But, yeah, Dean loved it. And then I also found out they made an animated, they, like, rebooted it and made an animated Bananas in Pajamas.
I hate that.
Yeah, I would never watch it.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, Dean was, like, fully fascinated by these fucking banana things
walking around
in pajamas being doctors.
That's wild.
It was pretty cool. Yeah.
We got Freya into Bear in the Big Blue House for a
bit. Oh, dude, I remember that guy.
Yeah. That was a little bit, I think, before my or after my time, as far as me sitting down and watching it quite a bit. But I had to take a deep dive into that because the guy in the suit, the way that the suit was moving.
Died of heroin overdose?
No.
Like Steve from Blue's Clues?
Oh,
which
course.
Is not,
not
which
true
is not
all.
True at all.
It's just
but
one of those
we,
things you
one
heard
of those
on the
things
playground.
We all said in high school
yeah.
forever. Like
you know
that guy,
dead.
Yeah, did heroin, died,
dead, yeah, killed himself because he was on Blue's Clues.
Fully untrue. He's still alive today.
Nope, he's dead.
And still just a genuinely
Blue's
good guy.
Blue's Clues
probably.
Did him in. Probably Blue's specifically. That dog.
I never trusted that dog.
Never trusted it. Bow, bow, bow. I knew you were lying.
Fuck, marry, kill, Blue from Blue's Clues, Bluey, or Bear in the Big Blue House.
what is this conversation? where are we? What is
I don't know. You were talking about something. I fully derailed you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. We should. I'm not answering those questions. They're all dog related or some type of bestiality connected topic. I don't want to get into that. We should talk about AFI. That's what we should talk about.
Oh, let's do it.
Hey, folks, make sure to stay up to date on all the latest episodes by following us at Get Wrecked Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Or if you have any recommendations you'd like to hear us review on the show, you can contact us directly via email. Or, I don't know, maybe you just want to send us some feet pics. You creep, I don't know what you're into. I don't care. We'll review those too. What do you think of that, huh? In any case, all your requests, feedback, and general criticism of the straight white patriarchy can be sent to getwreckedpod@gmail.com. That's GITRECDPOD at gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Alrighty, folks, so today we are discussing Answer That and Stay Fashionable, the debut studio album from punk/emo, later to be emo band AFI. It was released on the 4th of July in 1995 on Wingnut Records, and then re-released in 97 through Nitro Records, which I believe is still their the record label they're still with, or was the one they primarily all their like big hit albums.
Okay.
They were on Nitro for a long time. This is a much younger AFI. They went on to be kind of like the pinnacle of like emo post-hardcore music.
Mm-hmm.
They were like the flagship of that whole scene, that whole genre. And this is them in the early, like mid-90s, right out of college, dropping out of college, like young man, early 20s. It's their first full-length album, and I mean it is drastically different from their later stuff. If you're familiar with Sing the Sorrow and December Underground, if you're familiar with that era of AFI, this is a strong departure from that. This is when they were still punk rock. I mean, this is hardcore music.
Yeah, they're not really singing
at its finest.
Like, not really singing in this one.
So, Micah, I'm going to just preface this with, I knew this was probably not going to be something you were super into, mm-hmm. but I thought this was something you would find interesting because it's such a different sound than what they ended up like going on to make. So,
yeah.
What are your thoughts on this album?
Overall, I think that I enjoyed it. I might take like a couple of these songs and
sure.
pull them out and kind of keep them on a rotation. But I think with me, this type of music, while I enjoy it, I don't think that I can appreciate it to the degree that I want to keep it around for a long time.
I get that. Yeah.
Just kind of, it blends together. This album blended together a lot for me.
Yeah.
And I think that was a little bit bothersome, because I didn't dislike any of it, but if you were to put a track on, except for maybe a few, there were a few that stood out that I thought were a little bit different, but a lot of this, and especially there's like, what, 15 songs on this album?
15 songs totaling probably about 30 minutes altogether.
Yeah.
Like the longest song is two and a half minutes.
Yeah. And so I liked it, but there wasn't a lot that jumped out. The songs that jumped out, obviously I liked more.
Yeah. But. Well, and I think there is a number of factors for that, because I would agree. I think that's probably fair, because I mean, they were still very young. This is their first album.
Yeah.
They were still fully engrossed in like the punk scene, the hardcore scene,
mm-hmm.
Of that time. And that music does tend to be kind of have a similar sound. Now what they're doing is, even at this young age, in this beginning of the album, you can kind of see where they're going
yes.
with it, because it's definitely, because I could let you listen to some other stuff from the same area, the same time, and you would be like, this sucks, you know, like
sure.
they're still doing things that are a lot, it's very rudimentary compared to what AFI would go on to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely so. I think that's why it blends together, because they're just, their musicianship is still, they're still learning to play their instruments.
I will say that I really liked the bass player in this
yeah.
album. dude is jamming.
Dude, like, he rocks. Yeah, and every song is, they are playing as fast as humanly possible.
Yeah.
I think that makes it blend a little bit together too, because even when there's cool stuff going on,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times it's, you're not necessarily even catching it all because everything's like, yes, exactly. So it's just literally screaming and playing their music as fast as possible, and which I think does not help as far as like differentiating between one song to another.
Yeah. It really reminded me of going to shows in high school, like going to local shows and listening to local bands. It really gave me those vibes. Like, they weren't polished yet at this point.
Yeah.
And it really reminded me of that.
For sure. And at this point, they were still pretty much a kind of regional band in California.
Yeah.
That's, you know what I mean? Like, this album was produced by, what's his name? Tim Armstrong, I think.
Okay.
Probably getting the first name wrong. Yeah, no, it is Tim Armstrong and Brett Reed, who are the guitarist slash singer for Rancid, and the drummer for Rancid.
Okay.
So I mean, which I don't know how familiar you are with Rancid.
I know that they exist.
Yeah, they're definitely like kind of the way that AFI is like the forefathers of like, or like the spearhead of like emo music.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Rancid is kind of like the spearhead of modern punk music.
Sure.
Tim Armstrong's very like, you know, very, very like beloved by people for the stuff that he did.
Okay.
So, you know, they produced this album, and it was still, I mean, the punk scene's always been like kind of a smaller scene. So that's why it's like they definitely have that kind of sound. But even compared to other music from that time, there's so much like more as far as their guitar lines are wild. Like you said, the bass player is pretty good. And what's wild is they started AFI when they were in high school. So I was looking into it a little bit. They started AFI when they were in high school in like 91 or 92.
Okay.
And at that point, none of them knew how to play instruments.
Huh.
So their one friend played drums. And so they got him to be the drummer. And that is, Personnel, who played drums on this. Adam Carson, who is still the drummer. So Davey Havoc, the singer,
mm-hmm.
And Adam Carson, the drummer, are still the only two like founding members still around.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, Adam Carson was the only one who actually played instruments. He played drums.
Oh, really?
And then the rest of them like got guitars and a bass and learned how to play. And then within a couple of years, they made this. Huh. And I mean, like, once again, they're playing lightning fast music.
Sure.
And their guitar changes are just all over the place. It's pretty wild.
It is pretty wild.
The band broke up in sometime after that, like 93 or something like that.
All right.
Because they all went to college.
Oh, okay.
And then they got on during a Christmas break, they all got back together and played like a reunion show. And it went so well and people were so excited that they were like, fuck it, let's quit college and make music.
Just make music.
Yeah. And then that's what led to this, which then led to their long storied fucking career.
Yeah. Man. I mean, they're super successful. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Is there any tracks that stand out to you that you remember specifically? And we can pause and listen if we need to, because it'll take us 20 seconds to have heard most of the entire song.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me pull up the track list real quick. AFI, answer that. And stay fashionable.
While you're looking for that, I will say one of the things I find interesting about this is because one of the things AFI is known for is Davey Havoc's lyrics are so, they're so like horror inspired, and the guy can turn a phrase. He is an incredible writer.
Sure.
And especially in the later years, a lot of that stuff was very poetic. Whereas this album there's a lot of like silly stuff to it. Like I said, a song just about eating cereal, mm-hmm. sugary cereal. And the song "I Want a Mohawk, But Mom Won't Let Me Get One" is basically told from the perspective of a 10-year-old kid that's like, I want to stay up and listen to the Misfits and get a mohawk, but Mom won't let me. Like, yeah. it's kind of like poking fun at punk rock, as well as, you know, it's just a fun song. There's a number of those on this album that are just... The song NyQuil is about just drinking NyQuil and staying in bed. Like, I don't want to wake up. I just want to hang out in bed. And it's not like from a area, like from the perspective of, oh, I'm depressed. It's just like, fuck you. I don't want to go outside. I just want to sleep.
Yeah.
Like, which I find very funny is, like, once again, he went on to be such a, like, prolific, like, poetic writer.
Yeah,
for that, this was like kind of the starting of that, where it's much more fun and much more silly.
Yeah, this music really reminded me of, I kept getting, I don't know, flashbacks to times where it was just easier. It was just simpler. So there was a little bit of nostalgia, right? Because it was,
for sure, yeah.
It was close enough to The Art of Drowning for me that I could still find things in it. And I go, oh, okay, I see in The Art of Drowning. Like, I see similarities.
Yes.
And yeah. The Art of Drowning, I think, was their, like, fifth album,
yeah.
And that's where I jumped into AFI. That was the first album that I had heard. As far as this one goes, a couple of songs jumped out. Brownie Bottom Sunday, I thought, was pretty fun.
Brownie Bottom Sunday is cool, yeah.
I enjoyed that one. I did enjoy the NyQuil song, and I also enjoyed the High School Football Hero song.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that one was kind of cool. Kung Fu Devil was okay. I really appreciate the Man in the Suitcase song because, once again, it was back in the Let's Make a Hidden Track song. And
yes.
So the last track is 15 minutes long.
And, yes.
And I really was excited because I'm like, and oh, man.
Also, just so you know, yeah. The Man in the Suitcase is a Police song that they covered.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I couldn't tell.
Just a little bit of a stylistic difference. Yeah.
A little different, yeah. But then when it goes to the very end, I'm listening, and of course I fast forward through all the just empty space.
Yeah.
To about 2 minutes, because I go there, most of these tracks are like a minute 31, a minute 39, a minute 12. So I'm like,
I know exactly where this is going because I know what the track is.
So I'm
is.
Like, it's going to go to this. So I stop at 2 minutes and it's just like, and then it's done.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a sound clip from some TV show or something. And then 10 seconds of music.
Yes. And so I had to chuckle.
It's just a joke. Yeah.
I had to chuckle because I'm like, those motherfuckers got me. Like, 30 years later.
Yeah, dude. Isn't it crazy?
I was waiting for that hidden track and they just put it in there and didn't give me the hidden track at all, which I really appreciated.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I found that fun.
So, and I realized as I was listening to this preparing for this episode, I was like, this is tough actually, because like you said, the songs blend together. And even me as a fan of it, it's like, mm-hmm. If you told me, okay, this song specifically, there's a couple that I know by name.
Sure.
But most of them, it's like I would have to sit and listen to. But there's a few songs that have... one of the things I like about this is you can also see the beginnings of what I think is like an AFI staple, which is Davey Havok's ability to sing woes like nobody else.
Sure.
Whoa, whoa, wow. And then doing these like harmonies with the like these overlayered harmonies of like five or six people sing it, like doing like a chorus of whoa, whoa. And you can see a lot of that in this, like you can see what it would eventually become.
Yeah, they're kind of getting these weird gang vocals happening.
Yeah, as well as some of his singing is, like you said, there's not a ton of singing. It's a lot of yelling. But there are moments of him like actually genuinely singing. It's certainly not as refined or as good as it would become. But you can see, I like seeing the seeds of it. Whereas we've talked about this before, a lot of times I love the first album from a band.
Sure.
And I don't think this is their best album. I did say I that this was my favorite album last week when I recommended this to you. Mm-hmm. But that's because I hadn't heard some of the other albums recently. So I have an update on that.
Okay.
But for this is one of those cases where I don't think this was the best stuff they ever made. But I do find it interesting seeing the seeds of what was going to come. Because it's just so... It's uncommon for a band that sounds like this to go on to do... to become A, popular at all.
Yeah.
And to do all the things that they did and become so accomplished.
Well, they really changed their music a lot.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that a band can change their music as much as they did and, I guess, grow in audience.
For sure. Yeah.
Because even after they changed to, like, Sing the Sorrow, they got a little bit more melodic. Even after that, they changed again. Like when you get into the Crash album, I feel like they adjusted their style more.
Yeah.
I don't.
Kind of Bowie-esque.
Yeah.
Honestly, just constantly evolving, which I like. So today, because so this is what my day was spent doing. Listening to AFI basically all day, kind of going down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Because I listened to this album and I was like, you know what? I know we're going to talk a little bit about, I knew you had told me you started at The Art of Drowning.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I haven't listened to some of those other albums. So I listened after I listened to this album, then I listened to Black Sails in the Sunset, which is their fourth album. The mm-hmm. second and third album are pretty much the same as this.
Okay.
As far as like there's not much departure. So I listened to Black Sails, then I listened to the fifth album, Art of Drowning, and then I listened to Sing the Sorrow.
Okay.
And it kind of struck me because that's like a really pivotal, like important part in their music making. And I was looking into it. And so did you get to listen? Because I ended up texting you. I was like,
yeah.
I was like, dude, you don't have to listen to this for the episode, but I think you should listen to Black Sails because I forgot just how fucking much I love this album.
Yeah. So I listened to maybe the first four songs of that. And I got to tell you, I think that I liked that more
honestly,
than the first album.
Had I, just because it's been so long since I've listened to any of this, really, that would have been the recommendation, I think, had I realized.
Well, you know what's funny about that?
And I do think this one's more interesting because it's so different.
Sure.
But that period of AFI is so interesting. So Black Sails, that album's like 99, 2000.
Okay.
So what happens, their guitar player leaves. And they get a new guitar player.
Okay.
That's the Black Sails album. And he had already like played with them and like helped write songs with them and stuff. And it was Davey Havok's like college roommate.
Okay.
So, and that kind of denotes like this significant change in their music where Black Sails is kind of that's the origin of what they would go on to end up doing. That's the first one where they started having, there's a ballad at the end of that one called God Called In Sick Today.
Yes, I know that song. Yeah.
Yeah. That's off that album. That was like kind of their first ballad they ever did. That's the first song where they didn't play at 180 beats per minute.
Sure.
Right. So that really marked the change. And then, so you have Black Sails and then The Art of Drowning where it was kind of very similar to that, but mm-hmm. I feel like not as good. And then you have Sing the Sorrow.
Sure, which changes dramatically.
Which changes, so it's like, I think those three albums are such an important like period of time for them.
Yeah.
Because you have Black Sails, where they start changing and doing stuff different. They get a new guitar player, start going in a new direction. They start doing the horror rock and the goth rock type thing. Start getting into like post-hardcore style of music. And then like a year later, they wrote Art of Drowning. And it's still, I think that's a good album. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good album, but I don't think it's as good as Black Sails.
A lot of people told me that, actually.
And then I listened, and then like 3 or 4 years later, because they actually did have some success with that album, because they were on the Warped Tour.
With the Black Sails album?
Art of Drowning.
Art of Drowning.
Okay. And their one like hit, kind of hit off of that was Days of the Phoenix.
Okay.
But they were starting to have a little bit of mainstream success, so they kind of actively made a choice, like, let's try and, like, move into this a little bit, and that's where you get Sing the Sorrow, which, had you asked me, I would have said, no, anything after Art of Drowning stinks, but
sure.
I listened through Sing the Sorrow today, and I was like, oh, this is really good.
It's very catchy.
It's very good. And it's certainly not my cup of tea. So I feel like those three albums are really important, because it's like that was Black Sails is the starting point. And then they just did another one with Art of Drowning, which just didn't hit the mark as much. But then they really fucking dial it in with Sing the Sorrow. And that album went platinum multiple times. I mean, that's the album that like skyrocketed them into like fame. And I think both of those albums are better than The Art of Drowning. Whereas I think I would land on the Black Sails side, because it's more, it's less of the melodic stuff, and it's more, the way those songs are kind of formatted is like a lot of the bulk of the songs, the verses are closer to this, with the choruses being closer to the stuff in Sing the Sorrow. With like more melodic, more of the whoa, which is just the best thing they do. Yeah, it's the best. It's
very
some
good.
Of the best stuff ever of all time.
I feel like in AFI, there's a in AFI, in Sing the Sorrow, there's a song called, oh, what is it? I'm thinking that I'm looking through the track listing now. It's not Paper Airplanes. It's not that. I think it's the Death of Seasons song.
Okay.
Where they do, it was more reminiscent of their older stuff, like Art of Drowning or the Black Sails album, but they still added some melodic stuff to it. And I would have liked a whole album that was at that level. It was like the only song on that album where he's screaming through the majority of it.
I genuinely think so. Regardless, we can talk about it on the show. We cannot. You should listen to Black Sails the whole way through. It's so fucking good.
Okay.
It's insane. Like I said, Art of Drowning came out a year later. Mm-hmm. I feel like all the energy and the thought went into Black Sails and they nailed it. And then they just wanted to get another album out.
Okay.
And so that one just doesn't have...
Okay.
It just doesn't have the chutzpah that one does. I gotcha. Because then it was another like 3 or 4 years till Sing the Sorrow. So it's like you can kind of feel like the worksmanship put into that album.
Sure. Yeah. I'll have to go and do that then.
Like I said, it's definitely closer to this that we're talking about. Answer that. It's definitely closer to that than Sing the Sorrow.
Yeah.
But for me personally, I don't think that's a bad thing. That's kind of where I like him.
Yeah.
You know? But I do have to say, because I just pulled up on YouTube, I was like, the playlist, the album. So I'm going through the Sing the Sorrow. And like the second song on there is the Leaving song.
Yeah.
Part two. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good song. Certainly one that it's like, it's been years since I've heard it, but I still like remember it vividly.
Right down.
This is a feeling.
Yeah.
Down. It's fucking great
and
song.
It's a feeling. Yeah.
So good. But so the music video starts playing because it's YouTube.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh God, that's right. I forgot. This was a time when they're like, you know, what's a good look? A tuxedo and mascara.
Yeah. With the super like undercut, over the face haircut. Yeah.
And it's like, do you think people showed up to their shows and they're like, are these guys going to play music or do gay magic?
It's a bunch of gay wizards.
Is this guy going to start singing or pull a dove out of his asshole? Like,
I'd be impressed with both, really.
Yeah.
Especially if it was at the same time.
But it's like, I have so many feelings about Davey Havok on both sides, where it's like, I do genuinely, I love his voice. I think he is undeniably an incredible singer.
I would agree.
I love his scream. I think he's responsible for a lot of shitty screamers that came after him.
I would also agree with that, yeah.
Because he does it so good. He's also an incredible singer.
Mm-hmm.
He has such a unique voice. And he's an incredible writer.
Do you
like,
think
he hits that like goth horror vibe.
Yeah.
Like, when I said earlier he can turn a phrase, it's no joke. I mean, he writes beautifully. You can tell he's like somebody who's just naturally gifted at storytelling, right?
Yeah.
But then you see a video of him with his fucking snake bite lip rings, wearing a tuxedo and eyeliner and singing and just being a weird sexy boy, like being the Tim Burton of music.
Yeah.
And And it's like, it's like, why? I like all the things you do. Why do you have to look like an asshole?
Well, here's the, okay. So to go along with that, you know, speaking, we're bringing it back around, right? Okay. We're bringing it back around to things that just people said in high school, and you would just say, yeah, that's true. Right.
Yeah.
I heard a lot that, Davey Havoc was gay with the bass player
I heard that about Fall Out Boy too. It's
so
just funny.
So is there like no credibility to that statement whatsoever?
I don't know. I heard that at concerts, the guys from Fall Out Boy, the singer would make out with the bass player on stage and that they were gay together.
All right. So I just decided to ask the Google, right? I said, is Davey, that's all that I wrote, is Davey, first option, is Davey Havoc straight? Let's see what they say. Google's AI is jumping into this. Has publicly identified as straight, although there are discussions among fans about his sexuality, with some suggesting that he may be pansexual.
He may be a gay magician.
He might be a magician. Okay, I mean, I don't care either way. It's just one of those things that, again, I heard, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I believe that for no reason.
Forever.
Like, no
yeah,
reason.
I just believe that forever. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a weird thing. Did you listen at all? You probably hate it, so you probably haven't. He and another member came out with a side project called Black Audio.
I've never heard of this now.
But Black Audio was spelled B-L-A-Q-K.
Okay.
And then audio. It is the postal service to Death Cab.
Okay.
But it's very electronic.
Okay.
Very interesting. I don't know how you would feel about it. But
I would give it a shot. Like I said, as much as I want to hate Davey Havoc, because he just looks like an asshole.
Sure.
Like he dresses like an asshole. Fair. I just can't.
I think
I can't look at him. I can only listen to his beautiful voice and incredible lyrics.
I think he's gotten better so, as he's aged.
I would hope so. I hope he doesn't still have long black hair and double fucking snake bite lip rings. I hope he's not still a gay magician. I hope he's moved on.
Yeah, so here's where he was, Sing the Sorrow era, and he's got the long hair.
And you're telling me people thought he was gay? What?
Yeah, and I think that here's where he is now. So he's decided to slick his hair. He's kind of got a greaser look a little bit.
Yeah,
with his hair.
You know what? I actually dislike that even more.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I don't. I think it works for him.
It's like what. You sell out. You fucking sell out. Go back to wearing cut-off shirts and fingerless gloves, you asshole.
In this image, he's got a mullet, but the mullet part of his hair is braided.
Okay, I dig that.
Yeah, that's an
interesting
look.
I mean, I don't like it, but I like that for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think he should always have to dress like an asshole for the rest of his life.
Sure, yeah. I would agree with that. Here he's got this says asshole. He's got, like, a sun hat on, but it's a goth sun hat.
Yeah.
Get out of here, Davey Havoc. Also, his
name. I do kind of dig that he, like, blacked out all his tattoos. I don't know why.
Cool.
I like that look.
Yeah. I forgot where I was going. I was going to complain, but I just decided not to. I just forgot. I just forgot what I was going to say, so it's fine.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Moving on. Moving on. You derailed me again, Thor.
Yes, yeah, I'm good. I'm good at that.
Yeah, as far as this album goes, though, for the first album, I think I liked it. I think I liked it, but there was not a lot that jumped out to me. So if this was on in the background, that'd be great. If this was on while I was playing Tony Hawk Pro Skater, also great.
Yeah, no, this is skate music for sure.
Yeah, I might.
This is my angry music. That's when I listen to this album.
Yeah.
When I'm like just had a bad day and I'm pissed off driving in the car, I'm like, what's an album I know will let me just feel my frustration?
Yeah.
It's fucking this
album. This is a good anger album. Yeah. That's a good one.
Like I said, I've never been a huge fan of screaming, like music with screaming. I like yelling.
Okay.
And that's what this is, because it just feels, it's just like, it's like real aggression. It's like real anger.
This album length is 28 minutes long.
Yeah.
It's there's 15 tracks. One of those. Yeah. Okay. That's hilarious to me.
Yeah. That's the way albums should be. No, I also love and appreciate that it's like. That was kind of the thing like the Ramones started. Yeah. Which the Ramones were the same way. They would come out and they would play fast as shit. And people like that's the thing people kind of forget when they think about like punk music and what it is like. It was so strange. Mm-hmm. But the Ramones are actually like very interesting in that they would just come out and they had leather jackets and fucking denim jeans, and they would just come out and they would just play their music fast as shit. It would be like a 20-minute set.
Yeah.
And they would get off stage and like club promoters would be like, where's the rest of the music? And are like, we played all the songs. Like, what do you want? And it was because they were a bunch of guys from Brooklyn and they literally approached it like a job.
Okay.
Like punk music ended up being very political, mm-hmm. and being very like politically based like later on. But the early like the Ramones, kind of the forefathers of punk music in America, it wasn't about politics. They just played music fast and they literally looked at it like a job. They were like, look, if I wasn't doing this, I'd be laying bricks or fixing plumbing. And they're like, this is easier. So this is what I'm doing. So like literally they just approached it like it's a job. So they would come, they would play the music,
yeah.
and they would get the fuck out. And their songs were fast and they just played hard, made people rock the fuck out. And then they were like gone. And so this has that same vibe where it's just like, you don't need a 5-minute song. They would later on to go on later on to make that type of music. But at this point in time, it was still just like true hardcore punk music.
Well, I think that the 2-minute mark is a good length for a song.
Especially songs like this.
Yeah, but even if it's not, I think, to be honest, I think that was part of the key to the Beatles' success.
For sure.
Like their music was short, sweet, to the point.
You know, a silly kind of like a thought I kind of had about this music today as I was listening to this.
Was it just like the Beatles?
AFI are kind of like the Beatles of emo music.
I was just going to call them the emo Beatles.
They really are.
I could see it.
Because, well, in punk music, like, once again, they change styles. Mm-hmm. They radically change what they were doing. They did shit that other people didn't do. Like I said, he created a whole generation of shitty screaming high-pitched singers,
yeah.
who can't ever do it as good as him. Because it was like just something innate and natural to the way Davey Havoc like sings and writes. They created so many like knockoff clones.
Yeah, they did.
That
there's
and some
one
of them
guy.
Are great and some of them are good, but like,
yeah, I think the Used is a good,
for sure. Yeah,
they're further into the emo category. Yeah, and they haven't really like.
I'm not
category.
A huge fan of the Used, but well, I've
the guy's got a good scream though.
Exactly. Yeah,
like one of those high pitched screams. Yeah, it's up there, man. His scream is really good. I'm thinking of other high-pitched screaming. Blindside is really good. He's got a cool scream. They're a Swedish band. I don't know if you've heard of them.
I have not, no.
Dude, I fell in love with that band so hard. They're a Swedish band, and they came over here to America. Do you remember the band POD?
Of course, yeah.
POD.
The weird, like, multi-ethnic singer that you're not really sure. Is he black? Is he white? Is he Hispanic? Yeah. Asian? I'm not sure. I think he's all the races mixed into one.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that guy. Yeah.
Yeah, POD was traveling and they found them in Sweden. Like, they opened for them. And they liked them so much that they were like, you should come to America. We'll pay for your production. So they produced the first album.
Oh, that's cool.
And I am not a person who gets starstruck, right? But I went to this music festival called Purple Door. It's in like central Pennsylvania. It's kind of like a...
That sounds like a weird sex thing.
Well...
You ever did the Purple Door with your lady?
You ever did the Purple Door? Now that you mention it. And it was like a Christian music festival, but it was specifically heavy music.
Okay.
So bands like Norma Jean, Disciple, and for some reason Reliant K was always there. Well, not always, but they showed up once. And Reliant K is not heavy at all. They're like... I don't know.
Like real emo.
Yeah. They're like, yeah,
they're like pop punk.
Yeah. They're like, right? The pop punk of Christian music. But anyway, Disciple came and the dude was just hanging out like at a tree next to a lake, just like smoking a cigarette. Or he might not have even been doing that. He was just hanging out. Like nobody was around him, right? That's the lead singer of this band. And I was like, that's the lead singer of Blindside. And I'm all by myself.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm looking around and I'm like, people are just walking past him. What is happening?
Do you not recognize the singer of this Swedish rock band?
Don't understand. So I walk. I'm like, nobody's there. It's my chance. This is my shot. All right. And if I've learned anything from Hamilton, I'm not going to throw away my shot.
You can't throw away your shot.
All right. So I go up to him. All right. And again, normally I'm not starstruck, but this guy, I was like, hey. That's how I introduced the conversation.
Did he talk like the Swedish chef?
He's like, how are you doing? He was just like, hey. And I said, I pointed at him and I'm like, lead singer of Blindside? And he goes, yeah. And he smiled. And like, I don't know. I'd like to think that he was embarrassed, but that's not the case. I know that's not the case. He was looking at me being like, what is this kid doing?
You fumbled the celebrity meeting.
100%. 100%. And I'm like, I really like your music, man. And he goes, hey, thanks. I really appreciate it. And then I look around. I tap my pockets. and I go, I'd ask for an autograph, but I don't have a pen or anything for you to autograph. And he goes, that's all right, man. And then people realized that it was the lead singer of Blindside and then started like showing up. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, and I like ran away. I just ruined it. I botched it. I'm like, Micah, you're such an idiot. Yeah. So that's my interaction with the lead singer of Blindside.
Yeah.
If he's listening and we know that he is, you know. Come on to the show.
Yeah, come on to the show.
Yeah.
Tell us about what music you're making now.
Yeah.
I'm interested in Swedish hardcore music.
Well, it might be...
Christian Swedish hardcore music.
It might be in the future, dude.
You know my love of all those things.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my one time. I would like to go see AFI in concert. I feel like they might put on a good show.
I imagine they would, yeah. I have not... I know I've listened to December Underground, but that's the point where like I
probably where
just,
they lost.
Yeah. Where it's just really, it stops being for me and stuff that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what they went on to do after that.
I'm not sure. Well, Crash is an album that jumps out to me and I remember listening to it and not loving it, but they had again changed directions, in music, but not back to like this punk era. Like they went off more into like rock music, I think, if I remember correctly. I'm gonna have to listen to Crash again to verify that, but
yeah. Well, and it makes sense to me. So I've always I get when musicians, like, you get tired of playing the same shit after
sure.
a while. You wanna like evolve and learn new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Davey Havoc is definitely really inspired by Bowie. I know for a fact I don't know if it's still on YouTube or if you can find it, but they do, I saw one time a video of them doing an acoustic performance of, Ziggy Stardust. Just the, like that song off of the Ziggy Stardust album.
Yeah.
So I know he's a Bowie fan at the very least. But Bowie kind of did the same thing where it's like, he saw that as part of his art. It's like changing. He was like,
I think,
like, if you listen to Bowie from the album that we listen to, Ziggy Stardust,
yeah,
versus Bowie in the 80s, versus Bowie in the 90s and the 2000s, like, he
different Bowie
constantly, yeah, just evolved. He changed his art. And so AFI has kind of done a similar thing. And like,
sure.
I said, I don't know what the recent stuff sounds like, but it's probably still much more vastly different than this, than even like Sing the Sorrow and stuff. So I think they probably put on a good show. It's probably cool, but it's probably certainly not for me.
Sure.
Although it would be cool to see if there are still like girls, like scene chicks but they'd be like our age now, like like with
seen
like
ladies,
like seen like stretch marks from giving birth and C-section scars, but still rocking the fucking two-toned undercut with lip rings and shit,
deep eyeliner. They look like
probably be much easier to get with now. That is one of my great regrets from from high school.
It's to regret that. It's not under all that makeup. It's just, you know, not worth it. That's all I'll say. That's all I'm going to say about that.
I'm not surprised by that in any way.
Yeah. So,
but I'm a bit of a masochist. It's like I would like to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. Yeah. Well, dude, I think it's, unless you got more to say, do you have more?
No. Cover? No, again, I think had we listened to Black Sails, we'd probably have more to talk about, because I agree with you. Even though I love this album, it's tough to like differentiate between songs.
Sure.
And like lyrical content, it's tough to talk about because.
Saying. Oh, and, yeah, and it's also
you know light. What I mean? Like, it's light. And a lot of the songs, the only reason I even know what he's saying, and there's not a single song on here where I can tell you every word. Not a chance.
Sure.
And yeah. I've been listening to this album for 15 years or so.
I'd be real surprised if you could.
So there's no way you know a single lyric that was said on this album aside from maybe a couple of the choruses and the squirrel thing. Yeah.
Yep.
So, lyrical content, there's not a ton to chat about.
And he wants to be a high school. He wants to be a high school football hero.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He wants to drink his weight in beer.
Yeah, and don't tell him what to do. You can't tell him what to do.
No, that's a big theme in punk rock, though. So that's pretty standard. That song, you can't tell a punk rock guy what to do.
That song seemed a little juvenile.
Don't take kindly to it.
Yeah. I remember listening to that and be like, that's a little juvenile.
Yeah, that one feels like probably one of their like early ones. Probably when they were still in high school, they wrote that song.
Yeah. Yeah, some awful kids listen to that and they're like, we want to make a band like that. And then they created Simple Plan.
All right, so we'll get to ratings. Let's see. I'm trying to find something. Let's see. Alrighty, so one of my favorite songs on this album is Half Empty Bottle.
Okay.
That's the one that's like, stir it up, drink it down, break it down, down to the ground.
Okay, yep, that one.
And it's basically about drinking, smashing a bottle. Pretty cool.
Go figure,
so, but
yeah.
The song is Half Empty Bottle. So Michael, on a scale,
uh-huh.
I think I just called you Michael on accident.
That's okay.
So, Micah?
Micah, yep.
Micah.
Not Michael.
Micah, on a scale of 0 to a half empty bottle,
ooh.
How would you rate this?
A half empty bottle being the highest that it could be.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So a totally empty bottle to a half empty bottle.
I'm going to go with, oh man.
It's a brain teaser and a rating.
Really is. I'm going to go with 3/8 of a bottle.
That's okay. That is less than half of a bottle. I was about to say that's more than half of a bottle, but.
I wanted to go with whatever 5/8 of 1/2 was, but I don't know that measure. So I'm just going to say.
I think that's 5/16, right?
I'm going to go 5/16. All right. I feel like that's.
Don't check my math.
5/16 is. Oh, but it's only. But
yeah, because 8/16 is a half.
Is a half. Okay. So yeah. Okay. All right. 5/16. Yep. Sounds good.
You heard it here first.
Well, because I said when I say 5/16, it's like, I really fucking hate this thing. But I got to remember that half is the max.
Yeah. So, eight out of six.
Yeah.
So 8/16 is the max.
Yes. So 5/16 is my rating for this.
Fair
out
enough.
Of 8/16.
That's higher than I expected.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you would like this, but like I said, I just think it's interesting. It's interesting. I thought you might hate it, genuinely.
Oh, no, I didn't hate it.
But I was like, once again, I just think it's interesting. It's like an interesting listen. I think the recommendation should have been Black Sails. That's my favorite AFI album. Had I been listening to this music before like I recommended it to you, sure. I would have been like, oh yeah, this is actually
this is the one. Well, the why one don't I like why most. Don't I listen to that in between this episode and our next episode, and then I can give some feedback.
Do
on
a follow up. Yeah, there's a couple really fucking good songs. That's when they really start getting into like horror rock and goth rock, and definitely start. Like I said, it's the beginning of their new. It's the beginning of the new sound.
Okay.
And it's kind of, but it's still like very rooted in this where it's fast and it's aggressive.
Yeah. But they're kind of getting more unique.
Yeah. But they're hitting melodic. The songs are getting like unique. Davey's writing is getting like poetic and meaningful and not just like fucking eat cereal, dude. I love sugary cereal. It's less fun. It's less fun and more like personal.
Sure. Okay.
Cool. So, Micah, what do you got for me for next week?
All right. Do you want? I'm going to ask this to you in two ways, and I'm going to let you decide.
Well,
which one?
I go both ways.
Oh, good. Good. You're right up there with Davey Havoc.
I'm a real Davey Havoc, a gay magician.
Do you feel like like praising the Lord? Or do you feel like praising the Lord?
Dude, what? And if you hear those farts going off, that's my wife's ringtone. She's sending me texts.
So like praising the Lord or praising the Lord.
Give me the praising the Lord.
All right.
You gotta go full bore if you're.
Yeah. So if that's the case.
I never want half measures.
Yeah. If that's the case, then we are going to listen to a band.
Oh, we're listening to more music. Cool.
Yep. More music. Dang. We're going into it. We're going to listen to a band called Power Wolf.
Okay.
All right. Let me see if I can just bring you a very quick description of what Power Wolf is. All right, I'm going to go to ChatGPT to get our... All right, so yeah, Power Wolf here, I couldn't succinctly describe Power Wolf.
Okay.
So I asked ChatGPT to. Power Wolf is a German power metal band known for their theatrical style and themes centered around werewolves, vampires, and dark religious imagery. Formed in 2003, the band features powerful operatic vocals, fast-paced guitar riffs, and symphonic elements.
I like operatic vocals.
Okay. Well, Power Wolf is celebrated for the songs such as We Drink Your Blood and Sanctified with Dynamite.
Dig it.
All right.
So, you gave me the choices for praising the Lord or praising the Lord.
Yeah.
So the werewolf drinking blood guys are the praising the Lord guys?
Yep.
Cool.
Yep. So they...
makes sense.
They have a running theme where their music... I will dig deeper into Power Wolf lore for the next episode. My surface knowledge is that in the story and the lore of Power Wolf, it is about werewolves who have been sanctified by God to fight vampires.
That makes perfect sense.
Right? Right? So it's not deep music at all as far as its lyrics, as far as the content of it, because it's about werewolves fighting vampires for God.
Okay, which I'm into. Yeah.
But they are super theatrical, metal / operatic music. The album that we're going to be listening to, let me pull it up. The name escapes me right now. So the album that we're going to be listening to is an album called The Sacrament of Sin. It's their seventh album. It is, in my opinion, their best album. I stumbled across it. I was listening to music in YouTube, and it just came up as the next song. There's this song called Venom of Venus, which is off this album. And I'm thinking, what is this? And it's not normally something that I'm all about, but I was like, this is kind of awesome.
Oh, wow.
So then I looked into them, and I listened to this band for probably, I don't know, 3 months straight. this album specifically. I just couldn't stop. Even this is amazing gym music for me. Freaking love it. It's just so it's like metal, but it's also symphony, but it's also operatic, and it's singing about werewolves and vampires.
Dig it. Okay, cool. Yeah. So
very
it's,
theatrical.
So it's Underworld. Underworld the Music.
Underworld the Musical is a great way of putting it.
Dig it. Okay, right on. Underworld, I fucking love Underworld.
Yeah, Underworld the Musical, but more like if the werewolves were in Catholic garments, that's what we're thinking. And fighting with angels against vampires.
So Bloodborne, Underworld the Musical.
Yeah. There you go. Yep. So the album is called The Sacrament of Sin by Powerwolf. That's what we're going to jump into. I'm very curious on what you're going to think about it.
Sounds pretty cool. Yep. I'm into this.
All right. So what do you guys think of AFI, their very first album, Answer That and Stay Fashionable? Are you in my camp where you're kind of lean towards the, I guess now it's like the middle of their discography, of their career? Or do you prefer the fast-paced, more punk-style music? Let us know. Find us on Facebook, find us on Instagram or Threads. We'll get to Twitter at some point. X. All right. I've been procrastinating on that, so I'll just go ahead and do that tomorrow. And I'll just do it tomorrow. So for now, next week we're jumping into Powerwolf, The Sacrament of Sin. Listen to it. Come back. Listen to all the lore, because there is weird lore. There's
it really is Bloodborne, huh?
There's lore behind it. Yeah, like okay. I fell deep into they made a board game about this band where you are playing as werewolves fighting vampires.
Jesus.
I very closely bought it, but because it was like a super limited run, it's like $150 for the board game.
Okay.
And I just can't do that. I just can't do it. But maybe I will. I don't know. It depends on how this episode goes. So tune in next week, folks, for Powerwolf, The Sacrament of Sin. Until next time, folks.
As always,
you get wrecked out there.
And stay wrecked.
Yeah. And don't tell me what to do!
Don't tell me what to do!